Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 95 degrees here at 509. On this Tuesday, June 24th, 2025, there was a small cell of heavy rain that just moved through Pittston here, and another one just south of us. But other than that, the radar looked pretty clear. So I haven't seen outside, but I did hear the rain hitting the roof here, which made me look at the radar to see there were two little cells that had blown up. Now, I don't know if that means because of the humidity today, more cells will be blowing up, but either way, we'll get through it, right? It'll be all right. Got some text messages in on that professor at Brown University. He says his family has some history too. You may want to look into that a little bit. And I did see that Lackawanna County District Attorney earlier today put out a press release for a Scranton man charged with drug trafficking offenses. Scranton, this is coming from the desk of Brian Gallagher, Lackawanna County District Attorney's Office. Scranton, Lackawanna County District Attorney Brian J. Gallagher announced today that a narcotics arrest was made on June 23rd in the Hill section of the city of Scranton. Robert M. Malazzo, age 51, was arrested and charged with possession with intent to deliver over 175 grams of crystal methamphetamine and related narcotic offenses. According to the district attorney, this arrest stems from law enforcement investigating the suspect for subsequently conducting a search warrant at his residence at the 300 block of Taylor Avenue, his apartment located in the basement of the building, advertised as student housing. As a result of the search warrant, law enforcement located over 175 grams of crystal methamphetamine, 7 grams of cocaine, 15 diazepam pills, a sum of U.S. currency, and drug dealer paraphernalia used to cut, weigh, and package narcotics for sale. The total street value of the narcotics in this case is more than $10,000. The presence of this quantity of narcotics in proximity to a college campus and students, significant concern, and we will continue to work with our law enforcement partners, prioritizing the prevention of illicit narcotics from entering the city. This case was investigated by the Lackawanna County District Attorney's Office, the Pennsylvania State Police Troop R Vice Unit, and the Scranton Police Department. He faces a maximum penalty of 25 years in prison and $225,000 fine and a term of supervised release following imprisonment. All criminal charges are only allegations. All persons charged are presumed innocent unless found guilty in the court of law. Great work by our local law enforcement. I would assume that this was an ongoing investigation through multiple units and a coordination. They had some either confidential informant buys or some undercover buys into this individual, which gave them the evidence they needed for a search warrant, and executed that search warrant and found a lot of drugs. A lot of our drugs in an area where there's obviously customers in the vicinity of a college campus makes these sales even more egregious, and hopefully this person is now taken off the street and out of our community for the foreseeable future. But it just goes to show you have to be careful what's around. You have to be careful what's around, no doubt. So I just read you that as a success story that law enforcement is out there doing the tough work day in and day out, and that you need to have conversations with your kids, college age kids, high school kids, and even younger. Start it as young as you can. Make sure you have that open dialogue. Drugs are no doubt bad. And the more they hear that, the more they trust that. If it's ever presented them or they ever have the opportunity, it comes across their ecosphere, they know to say no. It may sound cliche, but it's truly not and could save their life. So a heavily subsidized silicone carbide power solutions company just filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Yeah, this story is going to rile your knickers, I assume, because it did mine. Wolfspeed. Sounds like a cool name. Wolfspeed. The silicone carbide power solutions company headquartered in North Carolina, once in line for a $750 million from the Biden administration, is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. In a release on Sunday, the company that calls Durham home and had plans for manufacturing facility in Siler City said the move strengthens its capital structure. Wolfspeed said it would move faster and hope to emerge from bankruptcy by the end of the third quarter of this calendar year. Wolfspeed in October had a memorandum of understanding for $750 million from the previous presidential administration. The infusion was support to construct of a new silicone carbide wafer manufacturing facility in North Carolina, helping to secure a reliable domestic supply of semiconductors that will underpin the future energy economy and AI boom, a release in the U.S. Department of Commerce said at the time. CEO Greg Lowe was fired in November, and Robert Furl took over in May. On May 23rd, Furl advanced David Emerson's addition as chief operating officer. The CHIPS Act grant to Wolfspeed, the largest of the Biden presidency not to be awarded, was subject of negotiation with the Trump administration earlier this year. Major restructuring was forecast in late March, and the money did not come. Since 2004, Wolfspeed has been the recipient of 38 awards valued at $1.4 billion from local, state, and federal officials, and another $119 million from federal grants and allocated tax credits. It has not gotten loans or bailouts, according to the Good Jobs First website. So this company got $1.5 billion, and was supposed to get $750 million again and file for bankruptcy. This company's not doing anything on its own. It's being supported by the taxpayer. It's an ongoing conveyor of taxpayer-funded nonsense. Layoffs are impacting the $5 billion factory in Chatham County, with 73 announced 2 weeks ago. That's about one-third of the workforce at its Durham headquarters in November. 20% of the workforce was trimmed, according to published reports. Sunday's release from the company says the key lenders are in a pact with Wolfspeed, calling the restructuring support agreement. Overall debt is expected to go down 70%, about $4.6 billion, with execution of the agreement. Wolfspeed has tremendous core strengths and great potential, Robert Furl, Wolfspeed's chief executive officer, said. We are the global leader in silicon carbide technology with an exceptional purpose-built, fully automated 200-millimeter manufacturing footprint, delivering cutting-edge products for our customers. A stronger financial foundation will enable us to focus accurately and innovate rapidly, securing scaling verticals undergo electrification where quality, durability, and efficiency matter most. Sounds like a lot of gibberish, right? For a company that's getting U.S. taxpayer money poured into it over and over again. If they are truly everything that this man just said, why are they filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy? Why did they need over $2 billion in taxpayer money? You got to ask yourself these questions. We've seen this story time and time again. Solyndra. Right? We've seen this time and time again. How many companies here or entities here in Scranton got ARPA funds to help their business and are no longer in business? There's quite a few. And that's small right here in our backyard. This is on a monstrous scale. $1.5 billion since 2004. We were about to give them $750 million again. It's $2.3 billion of taxpayer dollars to support this company, and they're filing for Chapter 11 because they didn't get their most current fix. That's what this is about. When you read this story, and I'll post the story online so you could read it, they did not get their most recent fix from the taxpayer of $750 million, $750 million. So they have to file for Chapter 11 now. Well, if that's the case, if without taxpayer subsidies, you're failing, Well, then your company's failing. And the fact that we've given $1.4 billion up until now, and we're just about to give you another, thankfully the new administration came in and says, well, wait a minute. And then what do? You run for the shelter of Chapter 11. But who's always on the hook? You or I. Right? We're the ones that always foot the bill here. We're the ones that end up dealing with this. And you know what? We'll end up paying with the Chapter 11 too. Things will cost more. Companies, creditors will have to charge other people more because of their losses that they're going to have to write off for this. That's how bankruptcy works. No one except the individual walks away from bankruptcy free and clear. It's like you could drive around with your car without insurance, but it costs us all money for you to do that. That's why we have to pay extra for under and non-insured people, right? So because this most successful company, Wolfspeed, I mean, they have tremendous core strengths and great potential, says their CEO. They are the global leader in silicon carbide technology with exceptional purpose-built, fully automated manufacturing footprint, but yet they need our money to survive. They need the taxpayer, you or I, who are trying to pay our bills, waiting for our reassessments here in Lackawanna County, looking to give a $500,000 loan in Luzerne and Wilkes-Barre. But this company couldn't survive. And once they didn't get that fix up, we're going bankrupt. I guess we're not as successful as we thought we were. It's not our job to support a billion-dollar company with a $5 billion factory. It's not our job to do that. If you don't have a product that is making you and your company money, it's not the taxpayer's job to incentivize that. It's just not. We have our own lives to live, don't we? And that's what we want to do, be left alone to live our lives. Leave our pocketbooks alone, leave our paychecks alone. Let's go about our business. Let us live our lives. Let us grow a little bit. It's 5:21 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 5:26 here, 96 degrees. Hopefully your day is over. Hopefully it's on your time now and you do what you need to do for the rest of the night. Enjoy it. You know, it's been hot and humid all day. If you've been sweating your butt off, if you've been in an air-conditioned office, maybe around people you don't like or can't stand, go do something. Go for a walk. Jump in a pool. Go home and give yourself the finger in the mirror. If it makes you feel better, hey, have at it, right? I saw that nonsense. What do they have? They have screaming rooms now in some places where you can go in a soundproof room and just scream. I don't recommend that. First of all, why are you punishing yourself for people around you? And it's just going to make your voice tired. It's going to aggravate you. Go for a nice walk outside in nature. Get on a treadmill in the air conditioning. You can go to one of the gyms in the area and take advantage of some nice air-conditioned space and go for a slow walk. And people watch. People underestimate the value of people watching. I highly recommend it. This weekend, we were just sitting on a bench on Broadway in Saratoga Springs. People watching is great. And we were discussing, you know, it would be great just to have a cooler right here and just people watch all day. You know, have a drink, whatever, cold water, bourbon. Probably would end the night throwing things at people, but that's okay. That's just me. Hopefully you're not there. But the moral of the story is do what makes you feel good at this point. If you're not on anyone's clock right now, figure it out and think about it. Take a time, take a deep breath, a few deep breaths, and think about what you would like to do right now. That's within legal parameters. And go do it. I'm not suggesting you go do anything you shouldn't be doing within legal parameters. Because I know where those minds stray to. Mine does too. Let's see what's going on. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. We got TJ Fitzgerald on an event tomorrow night. TJ.
Hey, yeah. We're having a Why Should You Vote For Me event. We invited county council Republicans from Luzerne County and Walter Griffith and Tom Muska. That's on the ballot. And a lot of people are just, you know, that are really don't come out during the non-presidential. And a lot of people are really divided in the Republican Party down here, and they've lost faith, and they're just uninspired. So what we're going to do is have an event and say, hey, inspire us. What are you going to do if we get you in? Are you going to get rid of the mail-in ballots? Are you going to get rid of paper ballots? Are you going to make our county safe? How are you going to make our county safe? Please tell us what you're going to do for conservative values, and what are you going to do with the taxes? And then we'll volunteer and help you. But you got to give us a reason why we should vote for you, not just because we have an R and we should vote for you. So hopefully we get there. We get a lot of people. They get a lot of stuff out their chest. And then we have just like a family meeting and say, hey, let's fix it. Let's do some positive stuff in a conservative way, and then let's rally the troops in November and hopefully win. But what are you going to do? What are you going to promise on your platform to make us vote for you? That's what the event's about.
And I love the concept of this. I've been following you post about this event and build up to the concept itself, to where basically you want answers from the people who are saying that they're going to be the solution.
Correct. I want to know. I want to put it all on the table. I want honesty. I want, hey, listen, if you have a complaint, come on and voice it. That's how you solve division with any family. And just like the Democrat Party is a dysfunctional family, so are we. And if we don't figure it out, we're not going to win. If we figure it out, but you have to give us something. You can't just say, because I said so, or because you have an R after your name. If you're not voting conservatively, why should we vote for you? And like you just went over the thing, they have a $500,000 loan they're going to give the city of Wilkes-Barre. And it's like they're saying, it's always never a cost to the taxpayers, but if you took that $500,000 and put it in a bank, you would get a yield on it. So it is costing the taxpayers. And then during the election, we asked the mayor to put yellow things over the parking spots, so then this way nobody would get fined or nobody would have to pay. We asked the Wilkes-Barre mayor to help us out. He said, go screw. He didn't help us. Now he wants our help. It's like, come on, guys. I mean, why are we giving it something to somebody that doesn't care about us? And then that $500,000 is taxpayers' dollars, just like you just said. Don't let the weak and the people that don't earn it, don't get it. The people that are paying their taxes, that have houses, give them the $500,000. So there's a lot of things that are wrong in our county, wrong in our state, and wrong in the federal government. But I can only address the stuff in Luzerne County because I live here. So what we're doing is tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at the Wilkes-Barre Township Fire Hall. That's 150 Watson Street, Wilkes-Barre Township. Come on. These guys are going to answer some questions. I'm going to find out who shows and who doesn't. And we're going to find out who cares and who doesn't. And then if not everybody shows, I'll have another event. And I want everybody to be accountable that's elected. That's it.
That sounds pretty simple enough. And you are right. I just ran the numbers. If you invest $500,000 at a measly 6% interest, which I'm almost getting in some CDs, so it's definitely doable, you're looking at about $30,000 a year. So that would pay a salary in Wilkes-Barre. That would pay a salary somewhere in Luzerne County. Yeah. So, yeah, you are giving up that money.
Yeah, we are. And then, like, they also, you know, we bought back the Visitors Bureau down here. You know how many times we bought and sold that? Are you kidding me? Plus, have you ever been there?
No, I have not.
Okay, beautiful place. I went there when it was a Playboy Club when Tom Greco owned it back in the day. Beautiful place. Very historic. No one comes to Wilkes-Barre to see the historic site. And then when you walk in there, so it's like a bus stop. You walk in there. I mean, the side of the road places where you could get your little pieces of paper of the Houdini Center or the Hilton. It's probably 10 foot by 12 that the people get to use. The rest of the facility is lavish offices. We don't need that. They want it because it's beautiful, but we could have put them up at Penn Place. We have multiple places in the county that they wouldn't have lavish apartments. People don't come to Wilkes-Barre to see the train station. You know, they're blowing smoke. They think we're idiots. You know, we didn't need to buy that. It's like going to a supermarket and buying steak and lobster when you can only afford a bologna. And then you're wondering why we can't eat, because you're lavishly spending our money on stuff we don't need. It's and then they want us to vote for them. And they get mad at us for questioning them. We're not allowed to question them.
Well, there are no answers, no votes. That's the way it usually goes or should go. So, TJ, I appreciate you letting us know about your event. I wish you luck with it.
Can you say the time and date, time and place
Jed
one more
said
time?
It. Go ahead.
Okay, it's tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. at the Wilkes-Barre Township Firehouse, and that's at 150 Watson Street. Any Republican, and so any of you Democrats coming in, we're going to find out. We're going to make sure you're registered as a Republican, because this is a Republican event. Before the election, I'm going to probably have a debate with the Democrats and Republicans, and we'll figure that out. But I'm going to do my best to educate the public, inform them, and let the public decide.
Sounds good, TJ. Thanks for checking in with us.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. It's 5:34 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 5:43. So I saw this post from Pennsylvania State Senator Kristen Phillip Hill. She's out of York County, and she's a Pennsylvania State Senator. And I'm just going to read you the post she wrote. With a map that shows, I'll tell you what the map shows after I read you the post. Just a friendly note to our green energy neighbor, Maryland. You're welcome. During this heat wave, Maryland consumers demand a lot more energy than it generates. If it were not for Pennsylvania, it would be lights out and air conditioning off. This is another reminder that Maryland should work on supporting and not shutting down baseload energy generation rather than requiring farmers in southern York County to give up pristine farmland to construct more transmission lines. And in this map, it shows that Pennsylvania helps supply New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, D.C., and Virginia with power, and parts of Ohio, mind you. And parts of Ohio. So Pennsylvania is kicking out a plus 10,703, where Maryland is using a negative 3,164. D.C. is using a negative 1,825. Delaware is using a negative 415. And New Jersey is a negative 6,836. Ohio is a negative 4,135. Now Michigan helps kick in a little bit. They're a plus 1,400. Indiana is a plus 1,700. North Carolina is a plus 911. But Pennsylvania is a plus 10,763. So it's interesting because Pennsylvania needs to help power Maryland, Virginia, the D.C., the Delaware area. But yet if you're a rain taxpayer here in Pennsylvania, you're paying the price for their Chesapeake Bay waterways now, aren't you? So I found an interesting, ironic twist to this post there. But if it wasn't for Pennsylvania, a lot of our neighbors would be feeling the heat right now a little more than we are thinking we should. Also, tax increases are looming for Pennsylvania school districts amid rising costs and the end of COVID relief. Now, we've talked about this. Every school district in Pennsylvania, probably every school district across the nation, got a big boost from the COVID boom and money that came to them. You know, that was supposed to redo their air filtration systems, redo their heating systems, redo their air conditioning systems, their safety protocols, the whole things they didn't really spend the money on. Well, once you give school districts, or any government entity for that reason, I'm not just picking on school districts, but any government entity, once you give them an increased budget for a year or two, well, they start living at that level. And it's very simple. If you get, say, a 5% raise, and the day you get that 5% raise, you have that amount automatically taken out of your check and put somewhere in a separate account. Now, that's something that I do. That's something that I rely on because at this stage, you know, I'm putting in as much way as I can for the next stage of my life. But nothing changes for you. Yeah, you didn't gain anything, but you're still spending the same. You're still living within your means. You're still meeting your demands and getting your bills paid. But meanwhile, that 5% is growing and growing and growing. It could grow for a year. And the next year, if there's a little more, you put it in there again. And it starts growing and keeps growing until you realize after a couple of years, wow, there's a nice chunk of change here. Rather than if you just let that 5% hit your bank account, after a couple of weeks, you're spending that money like it was always there. And it's gone at the end of the day. It's not building in an account somewhere. It's not a nest egg you can count on. It's just gone. You spent it on things. Because you live to the level that you've become accustomed to. And if more money comes into your account, most people, after a few weeks, are at that level and don't even realize it. Well, these other entities do the same thing. They have been given a level now. They've hired additional staff. They spent the money on things that truly, in all cases, weren't the purposes of it, right? They were new air conditioning systems, new air filtration systems, state-of-the-art. Every school in America was supposed to have state-of-the-art air filtration and HVAC systems. It didn't happen in a lot of places. But now that they've become accustomed to that and that money's no longer there, well, you know, it's the big bad government. It's this administration that's harming our poor little kindergarten and pre-kindergarten kids in our K through 6 schools and our kids struggling to pass the SATs. No, it's public entities like school districts living above their means, thinking that it was a never-ending spigot of money, because that's what they've been trained to do through their union leadership, through their administrations, through their school boards. That's what they've been trained to do. So here we are where this money no longer exists, and they're going to point fingers. Who's the bad person? Who's the mean ogre? It's the administration. It's the Republicans. They don't want to see kids succeed. We've thrown and thrown and thrown money at the public education system, and for some reason, because we're looking at the wrong causes, it hasn't improved. But now, it's the taxpayer that's going to pay. They're going to say, well, we got to keep, you don't want to lay off these extra teachers. You don't want to do this or that. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to raise the taxes. So not every school district yet is using this as an option. Actually, I've seen a few in our area that are holding the line on taxes, and that's good. This is why those little elections that we talk about matter. School boards, they matter. And you have to take note. And if they want to run for a school board position, well, they should answer questions. If you have questions of what their priorities are, if you have questions of what their fiscal responsibility is, what their fiscal experience is, what their managerial experience is, these are all relevant questions. There's a reason why candidates are public. Their names are listed. They campaign, hopefully. So you can ask those questions and talk to them, because it starts there. Because school taxes are a necessity, but they are also one of our biggest burdens that need to be managed. And especially when you have a government that's dumped billions of dollars in COVID money in there that they've now lived up to, they need to be notched down back to pre-COVID levels. And that takes discipline. That takes hard choices. That takes not being popular. And all three that I just mentioned are not the skill sets of school board members or any board members of government entity. So we'll see where it goes. But it says tax increases are looming for PA school districts amid rising costs and the end of COVID relief. So let's see where it goes. It's 5:52 here at WILK. We'll take a short break. We'll be back to close out the show. Welcome back as we start to wind down the Rob O'Donnell Show on this Tuesday, June 24th, 2025. It is 5:55, 95 degrees out there. So Louisiana Clean Hydrogen Task Force on Monday was briefed by Hyundai officials who outline their $6 billion vision for a hydrogen-integrated steel mill in Ascension Parish. What they called, the company called, the Catalyst for Hydrogen Ecosystem in their state. The proposed mill is projected to be operational by 2029. Company officials acknowledge significant challenges ahead, including the high cost of hydrogen production and uncertainty around future federal tax incentives. Until we get these prices down, a smart investor or business person can't make some of these investments, said Mark Zappi, executive director of the Energy Institute of Louisiana. Hyundai North America senior vice president Jim Park reaffirmed the company's commitment to the project despite changes in federal policy. When asked if the rollback of hydrogen-produced tax credits in President Donald Trump's proposed budget might slow progress, Park responded that Hyundai had an unwavering commitment to the hydrogen economy. The company framed its integrated steel mill as the first step in developing Louisiana into a national hydrogen leader. Hyundai described a three-stage strategy beginning with fostering hydrogen demand at the steel mill, expanding adoption across other industrial sectors, and lastly, building a statewide hydrogen ecosystem. Hydrogen's presence across industries will help decarbonize business practices, Hyundai said, adding that the investment across the hydrogen value chain could secure Louisiana's position as an energy transformation leader. This plant is expected to drive job creation, workforce training, and inclusive economic development while reducing millions of tons of carbon emissions over the coming decades. Hyundai also emphasized the role of state-level economic initiatives like Louisiana's Industrial Tax Exemption Program and Quality Jobs Program in attracting and accelerating clean energy investments. Hyundai also detailed a five-level roadmap to decarbonizing steel production. The company's long-term goal is to produce green steel using hydrogen sourced from renewable energy, a method with a carbon footprint of less than 0.1 tons of CO2 per ton of steel. In contrast, the traditional blast furnaces emit between 1.5 and 2.5 of CO2 per ton of steel. Hyundai plans to launch operations using blue hydrogen, which involves capturing and storing CO2 emissions from hydrogen made via natural gas. This intermediate step would later transition to green hydrogen, which produces virtually no emissions when powered by renewable or biomass. Gray hydrogen is the most carbon intensive. It's the cheapest to produce in natural gas via steam methane reforming. Blue hydrogen adds 50 to 75 cents per kilogram due to carbon capture costs, while green hydrogen can be there three to four times as expensive as gray. Hyundai's internal projections highlight the rapid expected growth of green steel. According to the company, the U.S. green steel market is expected to grow 8.5 annually through 2034, more than double the growth rate of conventional steel. Project is just not about producing steel. It's about producing a better future, Hyundai concluded in the presentation. So a lot of positive stuff on the horizon, not only in the steel production, but the way it's produced, using green and blue hydrogen. Expensive, but better all around. $6 billion project that's in the works as we speak. So more positives for the economy, more great things happening. And let's continue down that road. Listen, there's been a lot of division lately, but there are plenty of things that we can come together on. There's plenty of things that we can agree on. There's plenty of things that we could take steps forward with. I would assume this is one of them. I understand elections happen, people aren't happy, but if you're going to be there for the next couple of years anyway, why don't we at least walk in the same direction? We can have conversations along the way and disagree. Other than that, we'll meet each other at the end. bless. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.